Good morning and welcome to worship. Whether you're here in the church or at home looking through on Zoom through that wonderful window that we managed to have for people who can't come in person. Our preacher today is Simeon Mitchell, who needs absolutely no introduction. He is, of course, a member of this church and also a local preacher in the Oxford Circuit. Thank you for coming, Simeon. We look forward to hearing what you have to say.
Thank you very much, Joanna, and a warm welcome from me as well to this act of worship. We're so glad to have you here joining us, whether in the building or on Zoom. May you find in this space a place of love and hope and safety and forgiveness. Our God is food for the hungry, living water for the thirsty. And you are invited. You are loved. So make yourself at home, for all are welcome here. Let's stand to sing of the Lord's goodness. A big thank you to Rockfish for being part of leading our worship this morning. We're going to come to praise God in our prayers. And when I say, great is your name, would you respond, great is your love? Let us pray. We sing of your goodness, O God, for you summon the day to dawn. You teach the morning to waken the earth. Great is your name, great is your love. For you, the valleys will sing for joy, the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Great is your name, great is your love. To you, the monarchs of earth shall bow, the poor and the persecuted shall shout for joy. Great is your name, great is your love. You care for each one of us and call us to care for one another, your world and ourselves. Great is your name, great is your love. Your love and your justice shall last forever, fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise. Great is your name, great is your love. Yes, O God, great is your name, great is your love. Amen. This morning is the third in our series of services we're holding here at Wesley Mem to focus on the statements in Our Calling, which is the Methodist statement of its purpose and mission. It's a short film we're going to show now to remind us or introduce, if you haven't come across before, the Our Calling statement. If you haven't been here for either of the previous services, don't worry, you don't need to have been here. They all stand alone as separate services. And also, if you're interested in learning more about Our Calling, there are some cards available which are headed A Methodist Way of Life, which you can pick up at the back as you leave if you haven't got one already, which will remind you of that statement and of how we might choose to respond to it. It's got some really useful questions for personal reflection on it. But the church is also wanting to encourage people to have conversations about what our calling means for us in this community. And the stewards in particular will be glad to have your feedback and your comments on any new insights that these services have set about in you. And there has been information about that in the weekly email that has come round, a couple of questions on which the stewards are seeking feedback and ways to provide that feedback. If you're not on the email list or you're not sure how you could give that feedback, then do speak to one of the stewards and they will tell you how. But that is where we are. We are in the series about our calling. Today, the focus for this service is on the call to care, which is defined as being about caring for ourselves and those around us. To lead into our explorations of this theme, we're going to be thinking about a story that Jesus told. And it all started with a question from a lawyer. Now, lawyers tend to be quite good at asking appropriate questions. Jesus had just been saying that the two most important things in life were to love God and to love our neighbours as ourselves. Now, does anyone know this story yet? Does anyone know the question that the lawyer then asked Jesus? Anyone? Who is my neighbour? Thank you, David. Who is my neighbour? And to answer it, Jesus told this story. A story about a man who had been travelling between two towns. Which two towns were they? Anyone know? Jerusalem and Jericho. He was on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. But he was attacked. He was robbed. And he was left lying wounded at the side of the road. Now, I haven't got someone to come and read this from the Bible, so I'm hoping we can retell this story together. Do you think we might manage that? So, who can tell me what happened next? The man is abandoned on the side of the road. Yes. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Rachel. So people came past. There's actually three people that came past, one after the other. And this man clearly needed some help. The first person, did anyone remember who the first person to come past was? A priest, yeah. Is that what you were going to say? Yeah, good. A priest came past. And he saw this man who was clearly injured and needed help. And what did he do? He walked past on the other side of the road. That's right. Crossed over. Brilliant. Well, not brilliant, really, at all. The answer was brilliant. Then the second person came along. Now, does anyone remember who the second person was? Edmund? A Jewish person. It was a Jewish person, but it was someone who had a particular job. Someone who worked in the... it was a Levite. That's a funny word, but it means someone who worked in the temple. Maybe like a church steward today. Someone who worked in the temple. And did he stop? No. He did the same as a priest. He crossed over, walked by on the other side. So that's two people that have walked past so far. Who was next? Anyone remember? Yeah? Yeah, so that's really good insight. So it was someone who would have thought that the person who is wounded, the wounded man, would have been really mean. What do we call that person? A Samaritan, yeah, a Samaritan. So the Samaritans and the Jews, this man who had been hurt, we think was probably a Jew, they were old enemies. They hated each other. So they wouldn't expect a Samaritan to help a Jew. But what did this Samaritan do? Yeah, you're very familiar with this story. That's great. He helped him. Yeah. He cleaned him up. He bandaged his wounds. He put him on his donkey, and he took him along to the nearest inn and cared for him and stayed with him overnight. And then the next day, he gave the innkeeper enough money to keep looking after him until the Samaritan could come back and check he was well again. So that was the story that Jesus told. And then Jesus asked that lawyer another question. He said, which of these three people was the good neighbor? Now, what do you think? The Samaritan was the good neighbor. Of course he was. Wouldn't we all want someone like that to show that kind of care for us if we were in need? And that's what being a good neighbour is all about. We show our love for each other by caring for them, no matter who the person is or what their background is or what people might expect of them or of us. We love each other. And Jesus then said to the lawyer and to the friends and to all the other people who were listening, go and do likewise, which means go and be like that. Go and be like that Samaritan. Let's pray. God, thank you that Jesus shows us the way we should live. Help us to love you and to love our neighbours as ourselves. May we care as much as the Good Samaritan did and look out for people's needs, whether they're like us or not. Amen. Now, in a moment, some people from Junior Church are going to go out to their own activities, but before they do, Mary has got a quick word she would like.
Hi. I just wanted to say, last week, there might have been fewer people in church because a group of us, adults and children, went to 3Generate in Birmingham. And 3Generate is the Methodist Children and Youth Assembly. We wouldn't have been able to go. It was a fantastic weekend for all of us who went. And we wouldn't have been able to go without the organisation of our children and families worker, Mel. So we just want to take this opportunity to thank Mel, wherever she's hiding. Mel, you've got to come up. And we've got a little something for her to say thank you. Thank you for all you do for us all. So here's just something. I've got a bag, you might need it.
Thank you, Mary, and thank you so much, Mel, for being such a living example of care in this community and in this church. So as the junior church go to their activities, we say some words of greeting and blessing to each other. The Lord be with you. Now, not all the children are going out, because some, I think, those in Rockfish are staying in during the service. But those of you who are staying in might like to know that Rob has got a craft activity going on in that corner there. So at any point, if you're not about to sing, or if I'm not trying to talk to you, you're very welcome to go and join in with that craft activity during the service. Now Jenny's going to bring us our second Bible reading, which comes from the first letter of John.
Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed to us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. Amen.
We love, we care, because God first loved us. And because when we care for one another, we reflect that love into the world. We find echoes of these words in our next song, A New Commandment I Give to You. Shall we stand to sing?
Thank you.
In a little while, we shall think about what it means to be called to care for others. But first, I think it's important to recognise that one aspect of caring is caring for ourselves. Not as something selfish or indulgent, but because it can be hard to care for others if we neglect our own needs. And Jesus' instruction is, of course, to love our neighbours as we love ourselves. The Methodist Way of Life cards invite us to reflect on the question, how are you caring for yourself? The Methodist website expands on this, explaining that we are to look after our bodies as temples of the Holy Spirit. Caring for oneself, taking time to pray and recharge, resting when we're tired, enjoying things we like doing, getting a good balance of work and leisure is healthy and enables us to care for others. So we have an opportunity now to think about something that we perhaps need to care for ourselves today, something we want to bring before God. It might be that we feel we need courage or confidence, healing or protection, challenge or rest, love or space, or something else entirely. For those who are worshipping in church, as you came in, you hopefully were given a little piece of paper on which is a short question, a sentence that you can complete. There are some spares, some extras here if you didn't manage to get one on the way in. And you can use that to write or to draw something that you feel you need. Not that you want, but that you need. For those who are worshipping on Zoom, you might like to find some paper where you are, or jot a note on your device, or even in the chat, completing the sentence that you will see on the screen in a moment. Today, God, I need. Let's take a few moments to do that. After we've done that, we'll gather those requests in, and then later in the service and through this week, we'll be praying for those things. If you want to put your name on the sheet, you can do, but be aware that others may well see it that way. And if you're online, or if you think of something after the service that you'd like to be prayed for, then you can always email a request through to the church office, and it'll be included in the prayers that are offered here every Wednesday lunchtime. So let's take a moment now to consider what it is we feel we need today to care for ourselves. Let us bring ourselves before God in prayer. Eternal God, rescuer of the weak, given every reason to judge us, you actually seek justice for us. You stand with the poor in the ditches where we have discarded them. You plant your word of truth in the one who gives us unexpected answers. Jesus Christ, word of truth, you will not pass us by, but stoop to lift us up and carry us out of our pain. You love the faithful enough to tell us stories which will shatter our complacency and send us forth to show care to others. Holy Spirit, giver of mercy, you carry hope in your mouth and breathe it into our souls. You take us by the hand, shake off the sins that bind us, and lead us out of the ditches we've dug for ourselves into the brightly lit streets of the kingdom. Three in one, God, we bring you our needs and our hopes this morning and entrust them to your community of care. Amen. We're going to sing again in a moment, and during the song, the stewards will come round with a basket where you can pop in your little sheets of paper if you wish to and gather them up. The song we're going to sing is Let Love Be Real, number 615 if you're using Singing the Faith. Our calling is to care. Now, that might not seem like a terribly stirring or controversial statement to you. It's easy to categorize caring as a motherhood and apple pie kind of idea, an indubitably good thing that's difficult to disagree with, but rather mild and unexciting, like mood music or dental hygiene practices. But I think that caring is a rather more powerful and radical concept than that, as we really think about it. Just consider how hurtful a response it can be in a conversation or an argument when someone says, "I don't care. I don't care." Given that most of the members of my immediate family are in this room, I might regret the admission that this is the phrase that is guaranteed to wind me up when someone says it. Because there's no good retort to it, is there? Other than, well, you should care. Or if there are, I would love to hear from you afterwards what that retort should be. If you really don't care, it's indicative of an attitude that is at best indifferent to other people and at worst, amoral. Caring matters. And caring, of course, has been central to the way that the church has sought to live out its mission since its earliest days. The commandment of Jesus to love one another, has found a wide variety of practical expressions, from individual acts of social service and pastoral care and intercessory prayer and neighborliness, to the establishment of whole institutions and intentional communities which have offered education and healing and hospitality in the Christian tradition, both to fellow believers and to wider society. The call to care is part of the church's DNA, and it's something that's needed now as much as ever. But we need to be intentional about it. Some commentators have warned that we are currently facing a crisis of care in our society, one that extends far beyond concerns about the funding and the infrastructure of the social care sector. They observe that many of the personal and social connections which form the everyday foundations of society are going unrecognized, undervalued, and unnurtured. A culture of care, which the dictionary defines as the provision of what is necessary for the health, welfare, and protection of someone or something, is essential to the nurturing of children, the proper support of the elderly and the vulnerable. It sustains the relationships between family, friends, and communities, and keeps people healthy and educated and decently housed. But the combined effects of austerity on public services, consumerist individualism, and a cost of living crisis are stretching matters to breaking point. While the pandemic brought about a welcome resurgence in neighborliness, old habits seem to have returned all too quickly. At this time of crisis and increasing disconnection between people, to seek to care, to choose to care, is an increasingly radical act. So how can we develop this part of our calling in our lives, in our church, in our communities? 3 points which emerge from our readings. The first is that care begins with our attitude, our posture towards others. Do we recognize each other as fellow children of God, as the letter of John puts it? Do we see in every person someone of value, just like us, who needs care just as we do? When the question, "Who is my neighbor?" is put to Jesus, he doesn't answer it directly, as we saw, but rather tells the parable in which the badly beaten man is left to his fate, and 3 people see him, but only one addresses the victim's need. Interestingly, if the priest and the Levite had asked themselves the question, "Who is my neighbor?" they would have been obliged to obey the requirements of their law and stopped to help a fellow countryman. By contrast, if the Samaritan had asked, "Who is my neighbor?" he would have been under no such obligation to help. But the Samaritan saw the robbed man by the side of the road and was, as it says in some translations, moved to compassion. Compassion, literally, to suffer, to feel alongside. He saw in that man a fellow human being. Through this parable, Jesus is suggesting that the question, who is my neighbor, is an unprofitable one if it's being used to inappropriately limit compassion and care to only those who meet a certain definition of being my neighbor. If you're debating where you draw the line, Jesus is saying to the lawyer, you've got the wrong attitude entirely. In the parable, the outsider was the neighbor. And it's clear from Scripture that God's care and the care God wants God's people to share knows no limits. It's for everyone. It's also evident that God has a particular concern for those who are in need or weak or vulnerable in some way. The message of this for us is that no one is outside God's care, so no one should be outside ours. Everyone is a child of God. God is to be found in everyone, and everyone is our neighbor, to be loved and cared for. It's a simple but important truth, which nonetheless needs asserting again and again in these times of social unease, economic uncertainty, and political failure. This attitude has implications for the way that we should go about our caring. It means our care should be outward-looking, about always seeking to include, to draw in, to overcome differences, rather than draw boundaries and erect barriers. And it needs to reach particularly to those on the edges of our communities. So caring is about our attitude first. My second point is that caring requires us to be attentive to the needs of others, not to assume that we know what their lives are like or how their needs can be met best. As churches, we can often suffer from an urge to fix people and to fix things, to try and sort them out in the name of caring. One current example, as the scale of the impact of rising energy costs has become apparent, many churches and community groups have rushed to set up so-called warm hubs to provide a heated place for people to go if they'll struggle to afford their energy bills. Now, the sentiment of that is laudable, just as it was when churches set up night shelters and food banks in the past. Offering hospitality is a good thing. We can give freely. We can share what God has given to us, often sacrificially, to others who have need of it. But being the host of such ventures also puts us in a place of control, a place of power. It's our house, so it's our rules. Do we really know and understand what it costs sometimes for people to step over the threshold, to accept our hospitality, our agenda? As the last song put it, loving one another is about both giving and receiving, without the need to manage and to own. The co-founder of Methodism, John Wesley, once observed that one great reason why the rich in general have so little sympathy for the poor is because they so seldom visit them. And by the way, in those times, a person was rich by Wesley's standards if they had food and clothing sufficient for themselves and their family and a little over. So not a very high standard there. In today's disconnected society, as part of the call to care, we as the church, I think, could play a valuable role in bringing people together to listen to one another and to learn from one another, and especially to be attentive to the experiences of people on the margins of society. It would enable needs to be better met and understood, and injustices to be exposed, and have a chance in resulting in better projects and better policies. As we listen, we'll start to see that being a good neighbour involves not only acting with compassion, but acting for justice. And I'm sure this is a theme that we will be exploring further next week when the service focuses on our calling to service. The third point about how we care is a more practical one, It's about our availability. Three A's. I had to get three A's in somehow. 50 years ago, social researchers at Princeton Theological Seminary conducted a now infamous experiment. They recruited a group of students for what they described as a study in ethics. They got them to complete a questionnaire about their religious values and then sent them to another building across the campus for the next stage of the research. Now, they told some of the students that their next task would be to prepare a talk about the parable of the Good Samaritan. And another group, they had to do a talk about jobs at the seminary. They also said to some of the subjects that they were late for their next tasks, they must hurry over, and others that they had a few minutes, but they should head on over anyway. Now, unbeknown to the students, on the path to the other building, the researchers had planted an actor to sit slumped in the doorway, moaning and coughing as they walked by. What would happen, the researchers wondered, when they actually saw someone in need? And would there be a difference between those who were thinking about the story of the Good Samaritan and those who weren't? Some of you will be familiar with this experiment and know that the conclusion was quite a striking one. It turns out that overall, less than half stopped to offer some help to the victim. And it made no difference whatsoever whether they were thinking about the parable or not. So maybe this morning's service has been wasted. One student even stepped over the man's body as he hurried to talk about the gospel. In fact, the only variable that had a major effect on how much of on how the person responded was how much of a rush they were in. Nearly two-thirds of those who were not told they were running late stopped to help the man. The results seem to suggest that ethics become a luxury as the speed of our daily lives increases. We need to make time to care and to pay attention to what's going on in the lives of people that we encounter. And that means taking seriously those practices of self-care that we were thinking about earlier. To sum up, as we think about how we respond to the call to care and how we might develop that further in our lives and in this church, we've explored how caring is a radical and intentional act. It starts with an attitude that recognizes everyone is our neighbor. It requires us to be attentive to people's needs and then to make ourselves available, give ourselves time to respond in care. Times like these demand that more than ever before, we don't walk by on the other side when we see someone suffering, when we see a community suffering, when we see a country suffering. But to be as generous in our response and our compassion as God has been to us. Those are themes we pick up in our next song, which is number 415 in Singing the Faith and on the screens, The Church of Christ.
Thank you.
we come now to a time of prayer, of intercession, time of prayer for others, one of the ways that we demonstrate our care about other people. In these prayers, there is a response. So when I say, in your love and mercy, would you respond, hear our prayer. In your love and mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Creator God, we pray for the world, asking that those with power, wealth, or influence would show commitment to the welfare of their peoples and communities, would show commitment to your principles of justice and freedom, mercy and compassion, peace and understanding. In this Black History Month, we pray for a growing appreciation of the contributions of Black people to society and a growing commitment to overcoming discrimination and racism. God, in your love and mercy, hear our prayer. Saviour God, we pray for humankind, asking that each of us might show commitment to caring for one another, might show commitment to your desire that we should care for those who are ill, comfort those who are sad, feed those who are hungry, befriend those who are alone. On this homeless Sunday, we pray especially for those who are without a safe place to stay. And as a new academic year begins, we pray for all students and maybe some staff starting life somewhere new. God, in your love and mercy, hear our prayer. Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, asking that the family of Christ might show commitment to you and your way, might show commitment to loving our neighbours and ourselves. We give thanks and pray for all those who offer care in this congregation, for pastoral visitors, ministers, lay workers, junior church helpers, and so many others. May they be upheld and strengthened in their calling. God, in your love and mercy, hear our prayer. God, we pray for all who are in need today, and we especially name these requests. We pray for Shelby, who needs your love, peace, and rest. We pray for those who need time with family, those who need patience and strength and persistence in supporting their family. We pray this morning for someone who is looking for reassurance, God. We pray for Kate to have the opportunity to be still in the presence sometimes. We pray for someone who is seeking love, humility, and energy. We pray for those who need rest and space, patience and love. We uphold all the prayers that have been named and unnamed and entrust them to your care, O gracious God. God, in your love and mercy, hear our prayer. We share together in saying the words that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. One part of being a caring community is celebrating when there are things to celebrate. And one member of our congregation has a very special birthday today. Norma, it's your 90th birthday, is that right? On Tuesday, it will be your 90th birthday. So we would like to sing happy birthday to you. Can we do that? Happy birthday to you. You have our congratulations and our love. We also should mention it's Kirsty's birthday today too, but she didn't want us to sing for her. Thank you, Kirsty. Our final song reminds us of what the church is here for and the kind of church that we want to be. Let us build a house where love can dwell. Number 409, if you're using the hymn books.
Thank you.
Beloved, love one another, because love is from God. When we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. So may we know ourselves held in God's love. May our hands be Christ's hands as we care. And may the Spirit be present with us all our days. Amen.